Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into homes once again just to reach the world for Christ. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood here in USA, in the United States of America. So we're just praising God and saving. And I want to say that we appreciate all of the listeners out there, where that you may be. So we've got some prayer requests here we want to make known. And got a praise report, too. My brother-in-law, Dan Corden, he had an open-heart surgery, 5 bypasses Thursday, and he was supposed to stay in the recovery room for 4 hours, but he was out in 2 hours, and he was supposed to have the breathing tubes on him for 4 hours. And he had them off in 2 hours, and they had him sitting on the side of his bed. He was supposed to stay in the hospital until Monday, and God delivered him. He come home Sunday. So God really done something for him. So want everybody to just continue to pray for him, keep him in your prayers. Remember Sister Cinder Combs up there in Ohio. She needs a miracle from God. And remember Miracle Valley? God needs to move on that situation. And Crystal Phillips, she needs a miracle done. They've run some tests on her for cancer, so God knows all about that. Remember Kay? I don't know her last name, but she needs a miracle from God. She got leukemia. And all the unsaved, we want to remember them. So if you want to be a part of this, call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. And 937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Hi, Brother Yearwood. It's Sister Green in Ohio. I want to turn in a prayer request for my mom. She had bypass surgery back in June, and she's been throwing up since Friday. And the doctor, I spoke with him today, and he said to make sure she stays hydrated. But pray for her that her electrolytes will stay balanced the way they should be, and that she'll just get well.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad you called in there. So just hang in there just for a minute, and we'll get you and Brother Clint in there and let you know by the Lord. If you want to call in on 310-742-1759. Call in, and we'll put you on here and make you part of this service with us. So go ahead there, Sister Green, and just obey the Lord.
Well, Sister, I want to thank God for saving my soul, and he saved me back in 1993, and I sure appreciate him. He's been real good to me, And I want to make heaven my home. You know, I believe the broadcast tonight is about mercy.
Yes, it is.
I thank the Lord that he gave me a chance to be saved and that he called my name and I answered. He saved me when I was 19 years old at Brother Jimmy Swaggart's church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I did not stick with it. I didn't understand the plan of salvation. I didn't understand Christ dying on the cross for me, but all I knew that I was sorry for hurting God and for things that I'd done that were repented, and but I didn't understand the plan of salvation. But once that revelation of Jesus Christ and what he done for you on the cross, I tell you, you will not turn back. They say, just try him. Our pastor said, just try him for 30 days and see what if God would be good to you, or that he is alive and well. He come up off the when he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, he arose, and he is alive and well, and he will make known himself to you if you just try him. The Bible said, just taste of me and see that I'm good. And I sure did try this, and I tell you, I love the Lord, and he has made a way where it seems to be no way. And I just praise him, Brother Yearwood.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Get Brother Clint on there and let him obey the Lord.
All righty, here he is.
It's good to be on here with you, Brother Yearwood. I'm glad for the mercy of the Lord, that his mercy is everlasting.
Amen.
He endures forever to all generations. Now, I'm glad that until that door of mercy closes, there's always going to be an opportunity to come in. But, you know, we don't want to, if we're out, you know, if people's out there lost today, well, they don't need to put that off, because they don't know when they're leaving here. They don't know when God's going to call their number.
Amen. So,
just glad tonight for the mercy of God. I was thinking about, you know, in the book of Exodus, it talks about the mercy seat, that God had to make a mercy seat, and he placed it on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And, you know, I think that mercy seat stands for Christ.
Amen.
It was made out of gold, and it was upon the top of the ark there, and the angels, I think there were two angels there, and they looked towards the mercy seat. I tell you, we need to look toward Jesus, because without him, there's no mercy. If we're going to be saved today,
Amen.
We must come in through Christ. And I'm just glad that I said yes to Jesus one day, and that I've got my name now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, I'm sure that if something happened to me, I have assurance that I'm going to heaven. I have assurance that I have a home on the other side. After this life is over,
Amen.
I'm going to a better country, a better place, the Bible says. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. And the Bible said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So I'm looking forward, you know, when this life is over, that when my last breath leaves this body, that my spirit is going to be with the Lord. And I just thank the Lord that there's going to be a great resurrection day one day. And this old body that we walk around and we use down here on earth, this tabernacle that we dwell in, well, someday God's going to change this old body, and we're going to have a body that'll live forever.
Amen.
And it'll never grow old. And I'm just glad to be a part of the kingdom of God tonight. And we just want to listen into your broadcast, and it's good to be with you.
Amen. Well, we're glad you called in there and just stay in there with us. 423, go ahead and come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey, it's Brother Clint Yearwood.
Amen.
Sure, Tennessee. Yeah, just now got on there. Was that Brother Green on there?
Yeah, that was Brother Green.
Well, I just got on. I heard him just go off. But it's good to talk to you, and good to have this open line for the cause of Christ, because I believe we're living in a Saturday evening of time. I've been preaching this and talking this, and I feel it in my bones. I believe
Amen.
The coming of the Lord is just right around the corner. And if we ever do anything, we better do it. And I appreciate
yeah.
you doing this, because this is touching a lot of people. And
Man.
You don't know what good it'll do way on out there. And some, I'd say that you'll never know until you get to heaven what good it did do a lot of times.
Man.
But anyway, it's a good thing that we got to go on, that the Lord has opened up for you. And I appreciate it. And I'm glad that I'm able to be on it and speak for the cause of Christ, because he means everything to me. I love
Amen.
My family, love my friends, but I love Jesus more than anything else, because
Amen.
He died for me. He shed his precious blood that I might have life and have it more abundantly. And it's not only for me, but whosoever will. And I'm glad that he
yes.
didn't exclude nobody. It's for everybody. But the world's going headlong into destruction. Seems like they're going the right or opposite way that Jesus wanted them to go. But you know, there's television programs on now that's not religious programs, that's talking about the Bible and about things
Amen.
Of the Bible. And I praise God for that. You know, the Lord's going to have the last say. I don't care what the world says.
Amen.
He's got the power, and he's going to have the last say. And I'm his and he's mine, and I praise God for it. And appreciate
Amen.
You, Brother Yearwood.
Amen. We appreciate you too, Brother Bobby. And just thankful that you called in. Just want you to go ahead and obey the Lord. We're speaking about mercy this week.
Well, our God is mercy. Ain't no doubt about that.
Amen. Yes, he is. I'm going to let Stephanie come around and sing her song here. You can pray for her. She's got a cold. So just go ahead and obey the Lord this time.
He set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, and glory to God. He set me free. He set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, and glory to God. He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that profound. Not at this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying to, and glory to God. I'm going through. He set me free, yes, he set me free. And he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, and glory to God. He set me free.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's good.
Amen. So, I tell you what, I'm glad the Lord set me free. Hallelujah. I remember that in 1975
Amen.
When the Lord come in and set me free. Got Betty, she's going to come around here and read a scripture here to us. Praise the Lord.
Psalms 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
now,
God.
Now, how old was Stephanie? Stephanie's what, 6? 7?
Stephanie's 8.
And Bernie is 12.
She's 11.
She's 11. Well, it's good to have them working for the Lord. And that
Amen.
Stephanie's getting the same about the good as them.
Yeah. He's getting good on it.
He's getting better and better.
The Bible says, you know, to bring a child up in a way that when it is old, it don't depart from. So, you know, that's
exactly
what we're trying
right.
to do, is bring them up in a way to the Lord.
Yeah.
So,
you're doing a good job with them.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to let Tim go ahead and sing a song there. Praise the Lord.
Working for my good. Working for my good.
God is working on us for our good. I've got a few scriptures here I want to read by God's help. Let's remember Brother John. He's not called in yet. I don't know. I've not talked to him today. But anyway, right here in the Psalms 23 and verse 6, now this is the iniquity is purged by mercy. And Proverbs 16 and 6. Iniquity is purged by mercy. And the verse of that says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, man depart from evil. You know, thank God, we are purged by the mercy of God. You know, I tell you, without the mercy of God, we'd be in trouble today. I'm thankful, praise God, that God has mercy upon us enough that he give us this time and this chance to look to him, to the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. I'll tell you, without the mercy of God, we're in trouble. And we look here, now these is the scriptures. This is the, whatever you want to call it, the overwrite of the scriptures. Now this is what this verse is going to mean to us. It says, Christians, are, praise the Lord, hallelujah. We're having problems. Okay, 859, go ahead and call in and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yes, sir, you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, I'm Evangelist Tim Hall from Kentucky, and I'm actually traveling. My wife's driving, and I don't know how long I'm going to have a phone signal. I'm Facebook friends with Sister Joanna Green from there in Hamilton, and she had mentioned your program to me, and I just wanted to call you on and let you know I was getting to listen here while I was traveling on the road, and I didn't mean to call while you was reading the scriptures. I'm sorry for interrupting that.
Oh, that's okay, brother. Glad you called in. We sure appreciate
I appreciate you, and I just had noticed there I got a friend request from you on Facebook as well, and I appreciate you doing this work, and I noticed your subject was on mercy, and that's what you was talking about. And we would all be in trouble if it wasn't for the mercies of the Lord. Amen?
Amen. It took the mercy of God.
Yes, sir, because, you know, it doesn't matter. I preached at a church over in Butlerville, Ohio, Sunday morning, and I made mention to them that, you know, good people go to hell and good people, you know, die lost, and you could be the goodest person in the world, but until you've experienced the mercy of God, you know, mercy of
Amen.
Jesus Christ, you're not going to go to heaven.
That's right. Just
now,
being good ain't going to be good enough. It's going to take the salvation, take your sins, washed under the blood, and being a Christian. Go ahead and obey the Lord there, brother.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. And, you know, there's a lot of people that I talk to when I travel and preach, and I'm sure you have, that, you know, they'll tell you, well, you know, I'm a good person, and I've heard him say, well, I'll give you the shirt off my back, the last dollar in my pocket, and I tell him that's not good enough. It had to take the shed blood of Jesus to redeem us from sin, and if it wasn't for his mercy, there would none of us have opportunity of salvation.
Amen. Let me get this call in right here, and I'll get right back with you there, brother.
Well, that is fine. I may run out of signal anyway, but I will call you again, and I'll try to be listening.
Okay.
All right. Well, Lord bless you, my brother.
Okay, God bless you. 770.
All right.
770, yeah. Go in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Good Lord, this is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Okay, I sure appreciate you calling in there. I was getting a little bit concerned about you there. I hadn't talked to you, and I requested prayer for you there just a minute ago.
I appreciate it. I tell you, it was, let's just say the enemy was really, really trying to stop me tonight.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, just go ahead and obey the Lord there. We've been obeying the Lord, and we're speaking on mercy there tonight. So the other brother that was from Kentucky, we've done lost him or something there. And so just go ahead and obey the Lord.
All right. Have you already started on some scriptures, brother?
Yeah, I've started on some scriptures, but go ahead.
Where were you coming out of?
I was coming out of... let's see here. Proverbs 16:6.
Okay. All right. I just didn't want to overstep where you had already started. All right, where the Spirit of the Lord was leading me tonight, we're speaking about mercy. And my message tonight is out of Luke chapter 16. And the title of the message is The Rich Man Who Could Not Afford to Give Away Mercy.
Amen.
And Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19, says there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That word fared sumptuous means that not only did he fare, he celebrated. The word fared means he celebrated every day. It was like he had partied every day. And the word sumptuous means in luxury, luxurious. But we find tonight a man that has this certain rich man, he was clothed in purple and fine linen. I want you to notice what he had on. These were the clothes of kings. These were the clothes of the rich, and this was just a rich apparel that he had on. I want you to notice something tonight, amen. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 18, Revelation chapter 18. There, before we go too much farther, there the Bible says, Revelation chapter 18. Starting with verse 4, this was speaking prophetically about Babylon in Revelation chapter 18 and beginning there. Babylon was a great city, but it had come to a place, amen, the Bible says there, verse 2, that it had fallen and had become a habitation of devils and a hold of every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. And so here the Bible says in verse 4, it says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities or her guilt. But it means, it says, reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In
Amen.
The cup with filled to her double. He said, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment. I want you to notice something. Here was there, so much torment and sorrow give her. So God was instructing those that had been underneath her torment to torment her double. And her sorrow was given to her in her heart. She said, Babylon, which means confusion or gate of the gods. This was a place there that actually began in Genesis chapter 11. Where the people tried to reach God by a natural realm, building a tower to reach God and building things. And there are people that try to build things in the natural realm to reach God. You'll never reach God by the natural realm. It's only by the Spirit, only by worship and praise, only by bowing down to the Lord Jesus Christ. But this great city, this mother of harlots and abominations, the Bible says in 17 and 5, says that I sit as a queen and ain't no widow and shall see no sorrow. This rich man that was in Luke chapter 16, he said as a rich man, he said as a king, he said as a one, and he believed in his heart that he would see no sorrow because he believed that his riches, those things that he had, he would see no sorrow. Verse 8 says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. That's what it means here. So there were three plagues that came through confusion, through this great city. It was death, mourning, and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who had committed fornication and lived deliciously with her. In other words, lived deliciously in confusion, lived deliciously in this great city shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment. So here's Babylon, who was great, who was rich, who was having all these things, but now is burning with torment, saying that great Babylon, that great city, that might see, for in 1 hour is our judgment come. And the merchandise of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys her merchandise anymore. Then it talks about the merchandise, but let's go on down there to verse 14. The Bible says, the first that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things that were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. When this rich man died, he could not find the fruits that he had lusted after in life. When this rich man died, he could not find it. The Bible says in Proverbs, desire not the dainties of the rich man. The Bible says, because you know why? He couldn't find his riches anymore. The Bible says that a man's life is ransomed by his riches, but this man didn't have nothing laid up in store. The Bible says, lay up not stuff up in where rust or moth can corrupt, but lay your treasures in heaven. Amen. And tonight, this rich man did not lay up, his treasures were not laid up there. And I want you to know something. It says, verse 16, at last, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple. I want you to notice that this great city was clothed in the same clothes of the rich man, and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For he said, for in 1 hour so great riches come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? But the Bible says, and the cast dust on her heads and cried, weeping and wailing. We need to know tonight that this great city ended up in a place where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. This rich man, who in 1 hour, what hour? The hour of death, the hour of plague. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, is appointed unto man once to die, and after that is a judgment. In the hour of death, the riches of this great man who had the same clothes, the same riches, as Babylon, as confusion, as the gate of the gods. The Bible says, wherein we are made rich all of the ships in the sea, by reason of her cost, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. You need to know that in the hour of death, this rich man was made desolate. The Bible says, hallelujah. Going back, amen. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And let's read verse 20 back there to Luke chapter 16. It says that there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. In other words, he had sores in his whole body. But we need to know one thing. Amen. This man, rich man was an Epicurean. This rich man, hallelujah, here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we find this is Solomon. Epicureans were those were for philosophers, amen, that followed Epicurus. And amen, we'll go on to that in a little bit. But here was Solomon teaching the philosophy of Epicurus. He said that in verse 1, he said, I said in my heart, I go to now, I prove thee with myrrh, therefore enjoy pleasure. Solomon was a pleasure seeker, a lover of pleasure and not a lover of God. He was talking about this. He said, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of myrrh, what doeth it? He said in verse 3, he said, I sought my heart to give myself to wine. In other words, he gave his own life to wine, his heart to wine. He acquainted his heart with wisdom and to lay hold on violence. He said, he talked about, and he said, which there in verse 3, he said, for the sons of men which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. He saw that the folly was the sons of men. He said in verse 4, he said, I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. It was all about Solomon. It was all about his saints. It was all about his riches. He said, I made me gardens in verse 5. I made me orchards and planted trees. I made me pools of water in verse 6. I made me in the woods there. He said, I got me servants and even maids and had servants born in my house. He said, I had great possessions there in verse 7. Great and small, and above all that were Jews them before me. He said, I gathered me silver and gold and peculiar treasures. I got me men singers and women singers and the likes of the sons of men as musical instruments. He said, I was so great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And then he said, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. He said, but then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit unto the sun. He had saw all the things that he had done for himself, and found out that he had done nothing. You need to know tonight, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7, and 8, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. God made Lazarus to inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Going back to Luke chapter 16 and verse 21. The Bible says,
and desiring to be fed. Here was Lazarus desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Moreover, in that he had desired the crumbs from the master's table, the Syrophoenician woman wanted a healing for her daughter, wanted a deliverance for her daughter. She come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That at that time, healing was the children's bread. Healing was belonged to, amen, to the Jews, to Israel. But you need to know tonight by faith and the mercy of God. Hallelujah, tonight, amen. We find that even she said, amen, when he told her that healing belongs to the children. But she said, yeah, Lord, but even the crumbs, even the dog gets the crumbs from the master's table. You need to know tonight that you serve a God of mercy tonight, a God that will give mercy abundantly tonight. That, hallelujah, he was desiring to be fed. But we need to know tonight that the Bible says in Proverbs 13:7, there is that which maketh itself rich and hath nothing. There is that which maketh itself poor, yet hath great riches. He was a poor man, amen, rich in mercy tonight. The Bible says that, amen, that wrong, that even though the dogs would come and lick his sores, amen, and he would desire something from this rich man. But the Bible says, amen, the Bible says that the righteous man gives, in other words, regards the life of his beast. And Lazarus was a beggar. Lazarus regarded the life of even those dogs that came and licked his sores. But you need to know tonight, the Bible says, hallelujah, that we need to know that in Psalms 37:25, David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And the Bible says that it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which means Abraham's side, or in the chest area there. And the Bible says, and he seeth Abraham being in torments, just like I said, Babylon, these things. This was a representation of Babylon, confusion, where they had come and given no mercy. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Heaped up, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. But this rich man never had time. He didn't have enough money to give mercy from, amen, hallelujah, even though he had abundance of this world's riches. But he didn't have it. He had nothing in the account of life to give mercy unto Lazarus. The Bible says, amen, in fact, the name Lazarus means he whom God hath helped. And the Bible says, amen, and in Abraham's bosom the rich man also died and was buried. We need to know tonight, the Bible says, I believe it's in Romans chapter 14, verse 3, says this, let him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. God hath received Lazarus because he was told and instructed not to judge him who did eat and did not give to him. It was not him to judge the rich man. Hallelujah. But we find tonight, amen, the Bible says he saw, amen, Abraham, hallelujah, afar off. You need to know tonight, if you don't give mercy, if you can't afford to give mercy in this present life, you'll only see the blessings of God. You'll only see the Father, which is represented as the Father, only afar off. You will not come nigh. Your place will not be, for the Bible says in verse 23, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Thank just you. Like Babylon was, just like confusion was, just like there in 1 hour, because he had received the plague of death, the plague of mourning, the plague of famine, because he had laid, amen, amen, with his riches. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. The Bible does say that how hard it is for a rich man, it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than a camel through the eye of the needle. There in Joppa, there was what was called the eye of the needle. and the camel had to get down on his knees, and representing of humility, and the master of the camel had to take off every burden for that camel to go through. We have to understand tonight, amen, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he was poor, because he had nothing in the account of mercy. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I serve a God tonight, a God of mercy. I serve a God tonight, and just like I said in Luke chapter 6, for us to receive mercy, we have to give mercy tonight.
Amen.
This man never gave mercy. Because he never gave mercy, God couldn't. Tonight, I serve a God that's direct deposit. The only reason I receive mercy is to give it away. The only reason receiving tonight that you receive the mercy of God is you are to give it away to someone
Amen.
Who needs God's mercy. If that rich man would have received that mercy and he would have given it unto Lazarus or to anyone in life, but in his account he was overdrawn. There was nothing. He had become broken without a remedy because there was no mercy in the account of life. Bible says, surely we'll not bring anything into this life, and surely we'll not take anything with us. The rich man who had was left, amen, in another place, and talks about he had much goods and he laid up treasures, but he died on that night. He said, thou fool, who shall these things be? This man left an inheritance to someone. At the moment of death, he left everything that he had to someone else.
Amen.
But you need to know tonight, don't lay up your treasures. Abraham, Lazarus, as he lay outside the gate of the rich man, was laying up an account in heaven by showing mercy, by giving mercy. Here was a poor man who had an ATM, amen, because he had gave mercy, as he gave mercy to those around him. God direct deposited into his account of life the mercy of God. And the Bible says, Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented.
Amen.
He that is first shall be last, and he that is last shall be first. Do you remember this in your lifetime? While you were alive, because see, he had come to death. Church, those of you that are listening to this, it's out of my voice. Now is your hour to give mercy. Now is your hour to give unto those heaped up, pressed down, shaken together, and running over the mercy
Amen.
Of God unto others, so that you can receive the mercy of God, so that your ATM, that your automatic teller machine will deposit the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the love of God. The Bible says, how about the love of God in you if you don't have compassion and give that? If you have this beside you, this man had an abundance, but he would hold on to everything. But the one thing he would lose is his life. The one thing he would lose is the mercy of God. Verse 26,
Amen.
Inside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. In other words, a chasm, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There's no passing from death to life. There's no passing from life to death. I believe that Lazarus would have done that. He would have dipped his finger because why? He was a man of mercy, a man of God's mercy, even though in the lifetime that he was full of sores. Full of these things, but the one thing he was definitely full of, he was so full of the compassion and love and mercy of God. Where are you full of tonight? Where are you living at tonight? Those of you that are rich, you need to be rich in mercy and compassion and love in God. The Bible says, it talks about a church in Revelation, that you are rich, and but you don't know that you're miserable and naked. Those of you tonight, if you don't have any mercy, if you don't have any compassion, if you don't have any love, maybe there's someone in your life that you deem him as a beggar. Maybe you deem him as a troublemaker. That they let you know right outside the gate of your life. It's time for you to rise up and show the mercy of God unto them.
Amen.
So that one day, because that'll be one day, you'll be in that same situation, in that same circumstance. You'll be laying right outside the gate if you don't show mercy. But you need to know tonight, if you will show mercy Amen. You cannot afford not to give mercy tonight. You cannot afford not to give love and compassion tonight. And the Bible says, because once we come to that place of death, there's a gulf that's fixed. You can't cross over. After death comes, there is no more mercy giving. You have to receive it, and that's to be in your account before death comes. And the Bible says in verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send to my Father's house. For I have five brethren that they may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He wanted Lazarus to go. He wanted someone to go and be raised up. Abraham says to them that have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Church, tonight you need to know you went and got the law and the prophet. And on these two things, you've already got God's word, you've already got his prophets and his prophecy. Someone raising up from the dead, let me prove something to you. And he said to them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. Let me give you an example of that. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, this was the place they were talking about, the Epicureans and Stoics. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, here comes Paul. There in Acts chapter 17, talking about, I know we're running out of time, but the Bible says in verse 19, he says, and they took and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is, wherever thou speakest. And verse 18, he said, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered them. And some said, what will this babbler say? Others said, he seems to be a sinner forth and strange God, because he preached to them Jesus as the resurrection.
Epicureans
are those that gathered all these things in himself that I read to you out of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. That's what they believe. They heap to themselves. They bring to themselves. They give not to any others. But you need to know tonight, the Bible says, for thou bringest, in verse 20, it said, thou bringest a strange thing to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For the Bible says, for in verse 21, for all the Athenians and strangers that were there spent their time in nothing else but to either to tell or to hear some new thing. And then Paul said there in verse 22, he said, I perceive that all things you are too superstitious. In other words, you're too religious in that day. For he passed by and beheld their devotion and found an altar to the unknown God. And so as he's going down there, we're going down there verse 27, and said that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. You need to know tonight, remember what the rich man said? He saw Father Abraham. He saw that he was afar off. You need to know tonight that the Lord of mercy tonight is not far from every one of us. He wasn't far from the rich man. He wasn't far from the beggar. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. That's what the rich man and that's what his brethren and that's what the Epicureans believed. That the Godhead was gold and silver and things and stones and graven. And at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day and an hour, just like he appointed Babylon, just like he appointed this rich man, just like he's appointed you tonight, church, in that which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man who hath ordained there whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised them from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. That's what he's talking about. Those that trust in this thing, this present life, will not hear the resurrection. They'll mock the resurrection. Amen. You have to understand this Lazarus that was a beggar was different than the Lazarus in John chapter 11. But both these Lazarus would be resurrected. How will you be resurrected and raised in the life?
Amen.
Because there's got to be enough mercy in the account of your life. Do you have enough mercy tonight that when God shows you at that point of death, is there enough mercy that you'll be resurrected unto everlasting life? You
Amen.
Have to ask yourself that day. If you don't have it, begin to give it. If you are giving it, give some more. And we give God all the glory for this word tonight. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to go to the Lord in prayer and pray for the needs there that I made mention there. earlier, and we hadn't prayed over them. I'll make them known again. My brother-in-law, Dan Corden, he had an open-heart surgery Thursday, but God done give him a miracle. He done home. He got home Sunday, and he was supposed to have been in the recovery 4 hours, and he was only there 2 hours, and he was supposed to have the breathes and everything on him for 4 hours, and they took them off in 2 hours and had him sitting on the side of his bed. So God give him a miracle. He just need to realize that he needs salvation. And Sister Sandra Combs up there in Ohio, we need to remember her. She's still in the rehab center up there. Let's remember Miracle Valley and Crystal Phillips and Sister Kay. I don't know what her last name is, but Brother Bobby, what is Sister Kay's last name?
Heard, H-U-R-D. Heard, H-U-R-D.
Okay. We want to remember her because she's got leukemia. And Sister Green, what's your mother's name and what's wrong with her again?
Her name is Midge Atkins, and she's been throwing up since Friday, and she had bypass surgery back in June of this past year.
Okay. So let's just all go to the Lord in prayer and pray for them and pray for their and pray for all the unsaved out there that God will get a hold of them and save their life. Let's see.
Well, Brother, you would remember Bill Hyatt that he just received Christ a few days ago, and he's in the Chattanooga Hospital Rehab Center. So
okay.
Remember him.
All right, we sure will. 937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at. Eight 831, come in there and tell us who you are.
Brother Yearwood?
Yes.
That's our cell phone. Our home phones are, the battery's dying on us, so we had
okay.
to come in on our cell phone, too.
Okay, that's all right. Okay, well, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and pray for these needs. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come in agreement right now, Father. Lord, you see every need, God, every one of them that's been mentioned. Lord, you know the troubles of them, God. We just ask you, Father, Lord, that you will just have mercy upon them, Father. Lord, that you will heal them that's sick and afflicted. And Lord, them that is saved and lost, God, we pray, Father, that you will save their Father. Sanctify them and fill them, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all, God, in the name of Jesus. And we give you the praise for it all. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Green, you and Sister Green want to come on back in there and obey the Lord since you've been real quiet through the whole service?
Yeah, Brother Yearwood, I was thinking about when Brother John was preaching there, I was thinking about how the seven churches of Asia in the chapter 2 of Revelation and chapter 3 of Revelation, how the Lord was talking to those seven churches and the conditions that they were in, and how he told five of them to repent, and he told them to come out from amongst her, my people. And he had mercy. He's still pouring out his mercy today.
Yes, he is.
There was two of them that he didn't find no fault with, and that's Smyrna and that's Philadelphia. And in chapter 3 of Revelations, verse 5, it says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will
Amen.
Confess his name before my Father and before his angels."
Amen.
And it also talks about, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So he's talking to us today, and we still can have grace with God. And, you know, he was talking to the Laodicean church in chapter 14, and he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou hast sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And that's what Brother John was talking about. He mentioned that, and I had this ready to read to you out there. And I'm telling you, God will give you another chance. If you've not blasphemed the Holy Ghost, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what thus saith God. And he said to come out from them. He said that we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And, you know, we can just realize and look in the mirror and look in this looking glass in the temple when God told Moses to build to make the temple in the wilderness. The women gave their looking glass, and the priest had to wash there after they went to the brazen altar. They had to go to the laven, and they had to wash, and they had to look into the looking glass. And today we got the word of God to look into that looking glass and measure up. He said he would measure him with a rod of iron, and that's this word right here. And I tell you, God has given us a chance, and when he pours out his vials, the church will be out of here. The resurrection will have taken place. The rapture of the church will be taken place, and then he'll pour out the wrath of God. And I tell you what, we're going to go through some things as a church, but God will see us in the book of Psalms 91. Talks about that if we dwell in the secret place of the Almighty, he will protect us. And there's a hiding place in God. And we just got to look into this and see that it's not all about us, and it's not all about me, it's not all about you, but it's all about Christ. And God is so good. And if he, you know, he talked to Smyrna, and he told Smyrna, he said, these things sayeth first and the last, which was dead and is alive, talking about Jesus. I know thy works, tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. How are thou rich? They're rich in God. He said, I know them that say they are Jews and that are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. He's not talking about Smyrna. He's talking about them that say that they're saved, but they're not saved. They're playing church, and they're playing with God. God knows and got your number, and God knows who's real and who ain't. God, I praise the Lord. I thank Jesus for showing me this. So he said to come out, and he said to repent. Praise the Lord. While work while it is day, because the hour cometh with no man can work.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I'm going to let my wife make an announcement right here. Then I think we've got about another minute or two left, and we'll get Brother Green on there to obey the Lord.
International evangelist Bobby Johnson and the Crusade team will be in Loudoun at the Loudoun High School Auditorium. The address is 1039 Mulberry Street, Highway 11, Loudoun, Tennessee, 37774. And that is Saturday, April the 13th at 7 p.m., Sunday, April the 14th at 2 p.m. Come on out and be blessed.
Amen. So we've got 90 seconds there, Brother Green, for you to come in there and obey the Lord.
Okay, can you hear me, Brother Yearwood?
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, it's been good to be with you tonight, and we're glad we're, you know, to be a part of this, and we're reaching out to souls that's out there that's lost, and I know there's some probably listening in here today that are lost and don't know Christ as their Savior, and I thought Brother John had a great message about laying up treasure in heaven. You know, if
Amen.
We lay up our treasure in heaven, the moth and the thief, cannot come in and steal, you know, and it won't corrupt, and it'll be there forever. What we do for Christ will never fail. You know, if we even give a drink of cold water in the name of Christ, why, we'll not lose our reward, praise God. But, you know, I'm glad we have an opportunity in this life that we can do something for Christ. We can show love to our neighbor or our friends around us and our enemies. Jesus said, not just your friends, but he said your enemies, said to pray for them to despitefully use you and persecute you and say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. I'm so glad that we have opportunity. You know, if you're no telling where you're at tonight in the world, but if you don't know Christ, I tell you, you don't have mercy tonight without Christ. I spoke about the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and the angels was looking towards that mercy seat. Now, I tell you, the angels are watching over what the Lord is doing tonight. He's present, help in the time of trouble. I tell you, if you're out there in trouble tonight, and if you're not saved, you're in trouble. I tell you, when this life is over, then you're not going to heaven if you don't know Christ. Now, I want to ask you tonight to repent. I want you to find you a place. Find you a place somewhere. Kneel down and talk to Jesus. Have a little talk with Jesus. Praise God. I'm glad that I did that one day, Brother Yearwood, that I had that little talk with Jesus.
Amen.
And I told him all about my trouble. Praise God. And he heard my faintest prayer. Praise God. Oh, glory. I tell you, you can get in tonight. The mercy of God is everlasting. It's going to be there till the door closes one day. But one day the door will close. The mercy door will close. Now just pray today. I just ask you to pray today. Praise God. Just have a little talk with Jesus, and he'll make things all right. He'll save your soul if you'll come to Christ, if you'll repent, and you'll turn from your sins. I tell you, he'll save you tonight. You can have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can have eternal life. That's the promise that the Lord made us. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I'll turn it back over to you, Brother Yearwood.
Okay, brother. We're just now went off the air, so we'll talk to you there later on. God bless you. Appreciate everybody calling in.
Amen.